Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today, as we're going to jump back into the conclusion of this great two-part interview with Michael Ward, author of an absolutely fabulous book, The Sixth Sola. If you missed any of the prior episode in part one, you need to go back and catch up. I mean, Michael has developed a system to make the entire journey of our life on this earth so much more meaningful. How? First, by learning to study the Bible in a systematic way, but not just reading it through from front to back. He's been sharing a system of studying the most important part of the Bible, the time after the resurrection. Everything up to then is basically explanatory, important, but explanatory. But from the book of Acts until the time of the revelation, that is how we are supposed to live for Christ on this earth today. That is the New Testament church age. Praise God, that's us. Amen. Let's jump back into the conclusion of this great interview now with Michael Ward.
Yeah, I also like how you referenced the current state of discipleship in our churches today as being like preparing meals rather than, you know, using prepared meals, I should say, rather than learning how to cook for ourselves. I mean, that is so true. And what can be done to correct this fast food mindset that's invaded the American churches today?
Yeah, Bob, it only takes you to say a few words and all of a sudden my brain is popping on different ideas. So when you mentioned discipleship, so discipleship's a big deal. I was involved with a group for many years that was heavy on discipleship. And then I read the book of Acts, and it's pretty much Luke describes people as soon as they come to faith as a disciple, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we, by having discipleship programs and labeling them discipleship programs, it almost, for me, I'm a sensitive guy, and I'm also like to include everyone. So if there's a discipleship program at your church and you're not in it, then you feel like, well, maybe I'm not a less of a guy and my, you know, I'm not following the program. But the book of Acts says you are a disciple. Everybody listening that has faith in Jesus, you are a disciple. There's nothing to be added. You don't have to like become a super knowledgeable person. It's the heart change. We have faith in Christ. And that's what's required. And I think the instruction of the New Testament is to walk in the Holy Spirit and have a relationship with God. So I'll go back now to John 21. What I think is one of the funniest parts of the Bible to me is that Peter gets restored. Many of us have heard a sermon about Peter being restored for denying Christ three times. And then usually the message of the sermon ends right there. Well, I'm just one of these strange guys that always likes to look at the verses before and after. What, you know, I'm sitting listening to someone preach to me, and I'm quick, so I read. So right after Jesus restores Peter, he says, "Hey, you know, this is what's going to happen to you at the end of your life. You know, this is this and that and that." And then Peter says, "Hey, well, what's going to happen to John?" So because John's there, and you know. And Jesus kind of rebukes him right away. He goes, "Hey, what's that to you? You follow me." So I have a tendency to feel like some discipleship programs try to squeeze us into behaviors and squeeze us into things that maybe we're not gifted in, you know? So I love that story about Peter. And John makes it, he even sticks, it's like John's writing the gospel. So this is John's version of what happened, right? So John calls himself the beloved disciple, which is, you know, some people might think, well, you don't write in the third person, but John did anyway. But he's the beloved disciple. And he says, well, so he kind of shows that Peter's a little bit off base and Jesus rebukes him. And right after that, the story doesn't end there. The story goes a little further, and John says, well, there's so many stories we could talk about Jesus. You couldn't fill all the books in the world. You couldn't fill with stories about Jesus. But I included this one. I included the story about Peter. So, I mean, And then, so I don't know how Peter would feel about that, but I think maybe John's gospel was probably, they think, was written like in 85 AD, pretty late in the game. So maybe Peter was already gone at that point.
Hey, man, he probably figured, well, if Peter's not gone, I'll find out where he's at when he hears about this. Hey, man. Well, speaking of that, what about the books of John and Peter, you know, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, you know, all that? Yeah. Are you only emphasizing Paul in your readership, in your reading program?
Yeah, Bob. I mean, this is all developed because I mean, I started out with just the letters of Paul, and then I said I need Acts, and then I thought, well, I love that story in John 21, and I go, well, I might as well start in John 20, and then I thought, well, now I'm up to like 130 chapters, and I'm like, well, what's the rest of the New Testament? Well, it's just like you said, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, 3 John. There's Jude. There's James, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. So that only adds another 20 chapters. I'm like, hey, I'm asking people to read 130. What's another 20 chapters?
Well, a couple weeks.
Yeah. What's another? You've already spent 12 weeks or something reading. You can do another 3 weeks finish it off, right? So you finish off, and then the only thing I'm skipping, like, is Revelation, which I think is a great book, and I've read it, but it. You know, my wife was reading, she spent a whole year studying Revelation, and I'm like, that is complicated subject material. And I'm like, you can probably read Revelation and find a lot of life application, but a lot of it is kind of futuristic too. So
right.
I think of it more as like a knowledge type book, like informational. And I don't start, someone asked me, why don't you start at John chapter, the Gospel of John at chapter one? And I'm like, I guess I could, but I like the resurrection. And I was accused, I have a 2-star review on Amazon. So if you look for my book on Amazon, there'll be about 15 or 16 reviews. And I got a 2-star review, which is kind of low, right? But I love his review. His review was great. I kind of wish he gave me 3 stars, but he actually, I could tell he read the book and understood it. But he just, for him, it was a 2-star book, which is fine. But he called me, he said, well, Michael seems to be a dispensationalist, you know. And I'm not a scholar, and there's all these camps. So I'm now labeled a dispensationalist because I start with the resurrection and think about the Holy Spirit. And that's where we all live. It's 2021. Jesus hasn't come back yet. So we probably should understand this Holy Spirit and understand what we're doing out here. So
yeah.
I don't know if I'm a dispensationalist.
Amen. But explain for us, we mentioned this a few minutes ago, the difference between the Great Commission and what you call the great relationship and how you came to that realization.
Yeah, I'm a little bit snarky sometimes here, Bob. So, I mean, I loved the story of Peter and John. I just told you about how Jesus said, what is that to you? You follow me. I mean, to me, I have to repeat that to myself too a lot because we're all tempted to compare ourselves to other people, right? So I'm thinking that is the great relationship. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God wants us to follow him, right? So we can all get discipleship programs are good and there's people leadership there. But I feel like I think we're all leaders, Bob. Like every one of us has some leadership, lead our family, lead ourselves. Leadership starts within internally, right? So the great relationship is my way of saying, okay, a lot of people love talking about the Great Commission. It's a great motivator to take the gospel to the end of the world. And Bob, you talked about it earlier before that your program goes out across the world right now. So people could be listening to this anywhere in the world. And so we are doing kind of the Great Commission as you do your podcast here and radio program. Amen. So the message of the gospel is going out. That's the Great Commission. But I need great relationship. If I'm not in a great relationship with God and I'm not understanding the power of the Holy Spirit and how I might be gifted or what God wants me to do, or even producing fruit. So I see the gifts of the Spirit is like what we do. The characters of love, joy, peace, patience, like who we are, right? And so to me, that's all great relationship, Bob. And that to me is number one. And I'd love people to say, hey, don't, you know, until you got your great relationship going, and then the Great Commission will have to wait until you get your great relationship.
Amen. Hey, you also share how Peter was transformed on the day of Pentecost. Can you share some of that information with our listeners?
Yeah, that was again. I get influenced by what I hear. I listen at church. I'm paying attention, and someone said, you know, well, Peter was so empowered in Acts. I think it's 2:14. So the day of Pentecost arrived in Acts chapter 2, and you know, and the pastor referred to, well, the reason Peter was so bold to preach in Acts chapter 2 was because he had saw the resurrected Lord. And that makes logical sense. But I already shared with you how Peter was restored and he already failed right away. He was restored and he's like, what about John? Right? Yeah. That happened in the 40-day period. So Jesus was resurrected. There's 40 days, Acts chapter 1. Jesus says, I'm leaving you, and they're confused. And they go back and pray in Jerusalem. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes. And it says that then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he preached boldly. So that's how I want to emphasize and talk about the Holy Spirit. And it's not just knowledge. And contrasting, one group was saying that the book of Acts is the unleashing of the gospel. And I would say, no, it's the unleashing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's the Holy Spirit is what's happening. The gospel is knowledge. It's Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. That's knowledge, facts. But it's the Holy Spirit that changes our hearts and the sanctification that happens through that.
Yeah, amen, amen. And you also go into the conversion of Saul to Paul. Well, it was one of the main characters I love to preach on is Ananias, right? We can tell he's sensitive to the Holy Spirit because when the Lord calls him, he hears and answers. You know, then he tries to argue with God. I love that part. Lord, you do know who you're telling me to go see here, right? He said, you want me to go tell him that you sent me to go talk to him? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? Is basically saying here, that's faith in demonstration right there. But he's like, okay, I'll do it, you know, and off he goes. Explain to us about that you put in that.
Well, just those chapters, like 7, 8, 9 of Acts, are beautiful because you've got Stephen getting martyred, right? I mean, I just love to read the Bible and kind of sit back and like, what's going on? So Paul's there, right? He's called Saul at the time, and we all know he's attacking the church. And, you know, here's Stephen, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gives a great sermon to the Jewish people. And Saul's Jewish, and Saul knows the law probably better than any of the 12 disciples even. And he's standing there, and he sees a man, Stephen, preach and talk about Jesus and the resurrection, and then they stone him and kill him, and Saul is unmoved. He is unmoved by that experience. So this is where there's different camps of Christianity over many years about you can decide and choose to be a believer, or I guess you'd call it more the Calvinist view, right? The God chooses you and opens your eyes to the truth. Well, to me, that's clear. I mean, I don't know any one of us who could be watching a man get stoned to death for what he believes in and not take a deep look about like, hey, I just saw a man get stoned. He has a really strong faith in what he just said.
Yeah.
But even Saul didn't get it, right? He didn't get it. So a couple chapters later, we see Saul on the way to Damascus to go get more Jewish believing people in Christ and bring them back and put pressure on him. Mm-hmm. And that's where God intervenes. Jesus talks to him, and then he's blind. And then you referred to Ananias going to speak to him. What I love about that story too is how God says to Ananias, well, don't worry. This Saul guy, he's going to pay for all this. He's going to pay for all this stuff. And I guess I'm like, does God need to tell him that? Right. I mean, these are the kind of questions that when I read the Bible, I'm asking questions. I'm like, why is God telling this guy that don't worry, I'm going to make him pay for that stuff. And we know that God did, because even Saul was getting stoned later on, you know, and he survived him. But and that's such a great conversion of Saul. And then he goes to the Gentiles. So one of my other little things is that there's the big Jewish Gentile debate about circumcision. And then Peter and John and the rest of the disciples say, hey, we're going to go to the Jews. Saul, you can go to the Gentiles. And from a marketing standpoint, it's like, well, gee, there's not that many Jews in the world population right now. So Saul got 99% of the market, if you want to look at it like that. I mean, I have a goofy view on things, Bob.
Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. I hope you're getting a lot out of this great interview with Michael Ward. I know I am. And the system Michael has been sharing with us is similar to the system I've used to study my Bible for, gosh, I'm guessing the past 10 years or so. And I didn't even know it was a system. That is the way we're supposed to study our Bible for the day and time we're living today. Amen. Praise God. I cannot emphasize enough how important this information is that Michael Ward is sharing with us today, nor how important it is for you to get your hands on his great book, The Sick Sola. Go down to the show notes and order your copy today. You need to get into this system of studying how we are to be living our life biblically today. Amen. Now, let's go ahead and continue this great interview with Michael Ward.
And that takes to what you call the very important question, or VIQ. Tell us about this question and why it's so important even today.
Yeah, that is at the end of chapter 18 of Acts. There's where we find out about this gentleman named Apollos, and he's a great preacher, great teacher. They said he teaches very accurately about Jesus. So that's to me is the key word. He's a great teacher, teaches accurately about Jesus. And a couple of Paul's friends, who are Priscilla and Aquila, who are tent makers, another good thing. For those of you listening out there, whatever your vocation is, if you're listening to the program, you know, God can use you like Priscilla and Aquila at the end of chapter 18. They do a great thing. They pull Apollos aside and say, hey, you know, we see you're teaching accurately about Jesus, but I think you're missing something, you know, the Holy Spirit. And a couple verses later, it goes into Acts 19, and Paul comes around Ephesus where Apollos has been teaching, and he runs into some of Apollos' disciples, and he asks the simple question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said no. They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. So and a lot of people don't. It sounds like I might be Pentecostal, which I'm not, and again, because I'm not a denominational guy, but I think it's for whether you're Roman Catholic, no matter what your church you go to, these are truths. The Bible is true, and these things happen. And I kind of feel that we have a lot of Apollos teachers right now that are very eloquent, and they teach about God. And we go, and there's great podcasts now. You could probably listen to 2,000 sermons in 1 year now with the technology. But it's asked the question, am I being asked to learn information, or am I being coached to live a life that the living God wants you to live right now? And I mean, that's a challenge for myself. I'm still every day, I'm like, well, where am I headed? Do I really believe this book I wrote about the Holy Spirit? And the very important question for everyone is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said no, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's in the Bible. You know, I think a lot of people want to skip over that. So you can have faith and not be fully empowered to do what God might be asking you to do.
Amen. Amen. Before we get ready to close, I want to have you walk us through your system for reading the Bible in this way, and a way that will allow us to be more focused on the work of the Holy Spirit. Can you do that?
Yeah. I have a website, so it's the number 6thsola.com, and I'm going to put up some videos there to kind of demonstrate what I do. I use electronic technology, so I copy a chapter into a document with no marking on it. It has no marking on it. I read it, I highlight some things, and so I do that. And then I go to the next chapter, and there's a sequence to these things. And I journal. I write some things down, what's going on in my life, and I put some prayer requests in there. And it's my personal time to grow and think about, how is this word meaningful to me? How is it? What is it telling me today? So I do that every day, and I noticed that I had a Ryrie study Bible. A lot of you may have a study Bible of some kind. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I've been reading the Bible and I've had this Bible for 20 some years, and I'm going electronic now. And I noticed I opened up the Ryrie study Bible to Galatians 5, and there's so many notes in there. And I had to step back and I go, the actual word of God on this printed page, on these two printed pages of this open Bible, the word of God itself was probably only 20% of the ink that was on that page. I mean, there's little footnotes here, notes here, someone else's opinion there, you know, and cross references to all these different parts of the Bible. And when you're looking at a study Bible, you can really get distracted, especially, you know, someone like me. I get distracted, like, well, maybe I need to go look up Jeremiah 19:4, because that's a reference to, you know, there's a little footnote on Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And I'm like, well, why am I doing that? Why am I going to Jeremiah? You know, there's probably somebody's scholar found a connection, and that's fine. That's okay. But that's not my morning time. That's not what I do. I just want to read it, Galatians 5, and Paul wrote the thing. And so often we forget, Bob, that when people write, when Paul was writing these letters that make up most of the New Testament, he wasn't a scholar himself. I mean, he was smart, but he wrote, he didn't have any electronics either. He had a pen and a paper. So his editing ability was probably really zero. So he probably wrote things down and probably said, okay, that's it. We're going, it's going, we're going with this, you know? And some of the times I think about, let's say the book of Philemon, which is really short, one chapter. I'm like, he probably wrote it in 30 minutes or less, the whole thing. He probably just wrote a letter. And yet we study these books as if, you know, there's probably been so many millions of hours poured over Philemon and people analyzing it. It's like, what's it basically say? It says, it's Paul writing to his friend, said, hey, I think you should let this guy free from being slavery. How about it? Okay, yeah, thanks. Yeah, yeah. And you know, so there's probably more things to it than that. But it's just, it's not deep diving study. It's reading it and understanding there's a living God behind it.
Amen. Amen. Michael, this is all so fascinating. Unfortunately, we're about out of time. Michael, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm hanging out. I'm developing a website. It's the Six Sola, 6thsola.com. And then you can email me there at sixsola@gmail.com. So that's number 6thsola, S-O-L-A, @gmail.com. That's my email address.
Amen. Amen. And I'll put all the links to that down below. Now, your book, how can they order your book?
Yeah. So it's on Amazon. Okay. And I actually recorded an Audible version. So I did that myself. Oh, and wow. It's a great learning experience for anyone who's written a book to try reading your own book. I should have read it before I published it, because when you read it out loud, you notice little things you'd like to change. But, you know, I'll probably eventually maybe revise the book and pick up some of those little changes I'd like to make.
Were you a voice actor reading in a different tone of voice as you were going through reading it?
No, I tried. I mean, only one time, I think I did a little voice acting, only once, but I don't know if it was that great or not, but I was trying to quote somebody and I probably went into what I thought their voice should sound like. But it's 5 hours of listening to me. So if you enjoyed listening to my voice on this message, you can get 5 hours nonstop.
By the way, it's 5 hours to read through the whole Bible?
No, my book. My book is 5 hours long. And I probably spent like 50 hours trying to get it right, you know, even with the sound quality and those kind of things.
Yeah.
Amen. And
folks, I cannot emphasize enough how much this interview with Michael Ward has resonated with my spirit. I mean, he's been sharing things articulately that I've been trying to communicate for nearly 25 years. Praise the Lord. You need to get your own copy of Michael's book, The Sixth Sola. Use the links down below. Order your book. If you feel brave, order two and give one to your pastor. Praise God. You know, Lord knows there's a lot of them out there that need it, but you need to order Michael's book and do it right now while you're thinking about it. Don't put it off. Amen. Reach out to Michael, ask him a question, get in touch with him. And I want to emphasize as we close that really the ball is now in your court. Michael has written this book, The Sixth Sola. He's made it available to you. I've had him on the podcast today to discuss it, and the Holy Spirit has guided our conversation. He's had you listen to the discussion. Now it's really up to you to take action. In addition to ordering the book, you're also going to need to read your Bible, praise the Lord. You know, I want to close with the instructions Michael gives at the end of his book, that it's up to you to take action. You can just simply walk with the Spirit. That's what you need to do. If you do not understand that totally, then make a commitment to read the post-resurrection words of Jesus or words of the Bible in 22 weeks, one chapter at a time. Write out your thoughts in a journal as you do so. You'll be amazed at the revelation that you get. And I believe the revelation you receive will bless you for years to come, even into eternity. Praise the Lord. Michael, thank you for coming on the program today and taking the time to do so. I do appreciate it so much.
Well, I love the opportunity, Bob, to speak to so many people in your audience, and it's all about letting the Lord direct us in the future.
Amen, amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Michael Ward and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding y'all, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.